We all feel in need of the Lord's help today, and we'd ask for your prayers. The Lord's been good to us. Appreciate his faithfulness for all that he gives and bestows upon us. Scripture talks about the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Well, thank the Lord for it. Do we daily load the Lord with thanks for those benefits? Those things that we see and those things that we don't see, the Lord has given us so much, and I'm thankful for it. The burden that I have on my heart this morning is the sacrifice of praise. I'd like for us to go back and remember a couple familiar stories in the Bible. Don't believe any of these thoughts this morning will be new, but I pray they'll feed and inspire our souls. Let's look at the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. The story of Noah at a time when wickedness had so filled the earth that the Lord said that it repented him that he had made mankind, and he destroyed the earth with its wickedness, rebellion, except for Noah and his family that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I can only imagine that Noah felt the minority because he was. No doubt Noah felt alone and felt estranged, and knowing, as the wise man said, there's nothing new under the sun, I have to believe that very likely Noah was the butt of jokes in the neighborhood and of scorn and ridicule and mockery for the endeavor that he was undertaking. Noah had endured all of that and yet remained faithful unto God throughout all those years. The time came when the Lord said, Noah, it's time for you to get inside the ark now. For 7 days from now, I'm going to open the heavens and it's going to begin raining, and it'll rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah, of course, in obedience, entered into the ark. All the animals that the Lord had sent in, and the Lord shut the door. What a traumatic, say, time that Noah and his family experienced. I don't know how thick the walls of that ark were, but I've wondered many times if they could have heard the knocking on the outside of the ark. No doubt they heard the thunder and a phenomenon that wasn't common before that. And yet to know that they were sheltered in God's hand. If I recall correctly, my math, it was around 320 days or so, just about a year that they were on that ark with the door closed up. Have you ever gotten cabin fever? I remember the year that we first moved to Ohio, living in an apartment, moved here in January in the dead of winter, and cold and snow, and we were so ready to see spring by the time spring rolled around, and we could go out and stretch our legs and enjoy the sunshine and the outdoors. Do you think Noah and his family might have gotten a little bit of cabin fever? Wanted to be able to see the outdoors again and wondering what the world without looked like. I don't believe they had a periscope that was showing them what was around. Wouldn't have been a whole lot to look at anyway. Nothing but water all around them. I'd like for us to get a picture of the time when that water receded. The 8th chapter. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Folks, when you feel all alone, know that God remembers you. Noah might have felt all alone, and just a few of them left, and no doubt his mind going back to other family members or distant relatives maybe, and friends and neighbors, and realizing what had befallen him. But Noah wasn't alone. Sometimes the Lord allows the rains to extend for a long time. Sometimes the trial that we're going through and borne up by faith alone, it extends longer than we'd like for it to extend. But know this, God remembers us. And he remembered Noah. He remembered the promise that he had made to Noah. And at the end of 40 days, the sixth verse, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven which went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. I imagine there was some suspense, anticipation, longing, and hoping they had to have felt as the ark finally began to settle on solid ground, wondering here if the birds would come back. Whenever the dove finally returned with an olive leaf, he knew that the waters were abated. The last time he sent the dove had no need to come back and didn't return. The 13th verse, it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the seventh month, 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee everything that is with thee of all the flesh, the fowl, etc. And Noah went forth, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every animal that was with him. It says in the 20th verse, And Noah builded an altar, unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You know, Noah felt, I believe, a real gratitude within his heart to realize that it was because of the Lord that he was spared, to realize that the Lord remembered him in his time of need and distress, and that the Lord brought him forth, and how glad he was. I remember how thankful I've been after being out of the country just a couple weeks, so ready to get back home and feel like I understand what people would say before, whenever they get off a ship after months at sea and they kneel down and they kiss the ground that they finally set their feet on. I could have hugged that customs agent there that greeted me back into the United States. I was so ready to get back into the country. I am sure that Noah was so thankful to once again see the sunshine and hear the birds, though I guess they were few in number, to see the flowers beginning to spring forth in the earth again. I believe that there was a response that welled up within Noah of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Thanksgiving and praise is about so much more than a form that we put on. It's about so much more than, well, we're going to come together and we're going to have a praise and worship service. And so there's a certain position that you ought to have your hands and to show that you're in praise mode now. Folks, this isn't something that you turn on or turn off and you come and you put on a certain form. There is praise unto the Lord. It's something that comes from within us and works its way out. That it was just so natural for Noah to say, hold on, folks. Before we go off and do our own thing, let's give thanks unto the Lord. Let's stop here and let's turn our eyes heavenward and say, Lord, thank you for your mercies. Lord, thank you for sparing us to give devotion and worship and praise unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. You know, the Lord desires, and Jesus said that the Father seeketh such. To worship Him, they that worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Lord is pleased by the praises of His people. There are many other stories that we won't turn and read them all. You remember the story of Jonah. He found himself at sea under less favorable circumstances. His passage was less than first class passage. It was below deck, below the water, and the fragrance wasn't pleasant, I'm sure. Speaking, of course, after he was thrown overboard. Can you imagine the prayer that Jonah was praying? Some of it is recorded. Jonah had a change of heart there in the belly of the fish. And I think he'd have given anything to be able to rewind the clock, to be able to undo what he had done. Began praying unto the Lord, and the Lord caused the fish to spit him out. And Jonah said unto the Lord that I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I am sure that Jonah felt quite thankful that that fish got a bellyache. Quite thankful to be able to be on solid ground once again. And he offered thanksgiving unto the Lord. You remember what Zacharias did after months, maybe 6 months or a little more, of not being able to speak? The Lord had shut his mouth and he was dumb. He could only communicate by writing on a tablet. You know, whenever his lips were loosed, you know, his response wasn't, God, why did you do that? That was terrible. I'm going to complain about it. I'm going to stage a protest here. You know what his reaction was whenever the Lord loosed his lips? He offered praises unto the Lord. He was thankful. The Lord had heard his prayer. I think Jacob, whenever the angel, the Lord visited him there, gave him a vision and a dream and a promise to go with it. Jacob arose the next morning and he set up an altar of stones and he offered unto the Lord. He sacrificed to the Lord. Said the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Well, I thank the Lord for every place, every time that He's revealed Himself unto us and showed us that He was in even those places where we didn't recognize, we didn't see Him. Perhaps you can think of other examples. Other times where God's people in the Old Testament would, well, I think of one more I want to consider together. Do you remember whenever the Lord led the Israelites through the Red Sea on dry land? Here the Egyptians are pursuing behind them and they get to the other side, and just as they step foot on the other shore, they see the water begin to cover back over, and their enemies that they were powerless to be able to overcome, knowing that their inevitable end was a return back to the bondage of Egypt, even more severe, no doubt, than what it was before. And yet they looked and they saw what, not what they had done. They saw what the hand of God had done on their behalf. Whenever they looked and beheld that, Moses and the people sang praises unto the Lord. Well, let's look at just a little bit of what they said. Exodus, the 15th chapter. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen chariots also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank. Listen to this. They sank under the bottom as a stone. I think there was some rejoicing here. I believe there was some thanksgiving. I don't think this was something that was just put on. I believe from within their hearts they realized we were that close to death. We were that close to spending the rest of our lives under bondage. Lord, you're the one that turned this around. Folks, do you know every one of us that are saved? That is the case for us. That the Lord has delivered us from the bondage of sin, and but for the Lord, that would be any of us whenever we look out and see those that are in the grips and the chains and the bondage of sin. I believe the rightful attitude within our hearts, and I've been challenged. Lord, I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful to you. It can be so easy to get burdened down and cumbered about with the troubles and the problems that we see. But Lord, help us to never forget what he brought us from. To never forget where we could be right now. But for the mercy of the Lord. Let's turn and look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13, the 14th verse. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now we're reading in the New Testament, there's no need to come and offer the sacrifice of animals unto the Lord. But you know, there's still an offering and a sacrifice that the Lord is looking for from us. It doesn't involve us going to our flock or going and purchasing a pigeon or a dove and offering it to the Lord. But the Lord that has made us, the Lord that gives to every one of us life and breath and everything, desires from us that we offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto him. That's something that every one of us are able to do. Lord, I've got much to thank you for, much to praise you for, and that we offer that unto the Lord. I believe, I've already alluded to this a little bit, I believe the idea of praise has become tainted in our world today. And it's become associated with a certain kind of music and a certain kind of worship style and all of those things. That's empty. Praise, true praise, that the Lord is looking for of this offering comes from a heart that realizes and sees God for who he is and realizes what the Lord has done. And there's something that wells up within us that says, Lord, thank you. And may we not forget what the Lord has done for us. Praise that comes from within is what is acceptable unto the Lord. It talks about it as a sacrifice of us offering unto the Lord the sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips, our words. The things that we say can be an offering to the Lord. This idea of praise many times is associated with certain select words. Not that the words in and of themselves are wrong. Hallelujah. That's scriptural. Praise the Lord. But have you ever been around a religious person? A religious person who whenever they're in different company that's not religious, they're acting just like the folks that aren't religious. But when suddenly something is mentioned about God, all of a sudden they begin employing the religious terminology of praise our God, I am highly favored before God, and these things. This isn't something that we just pull off the shelf and we're going to put our praise hat on. It's something that we wear, that we bring forth from the words of our lips. And praise is not about saying, praise God, praise God, praise God. We should say praise God. Don't misunderstand. But praising God is not only saying the words praise God. It's not about us. If it were so, then we'd say, well, every one of us, oh, praise to the Lord. Let's stand up and say 50 times, praise God. But that's not what the Lord's looking for. That's not the fruit of our lips that the Lord is looking for. Praising God is not only about saying praise God. Do you know there are a lot of people that are praised in our world today? Celebrities, sports figures that are praised almost endlessly, and yet you won't hear it said necessarily, and you plug in the name, praise LeBron James. Well, they call him King James, I guess. But it's not using that terminology and that those words, praise this person, praise this person, praise this person. But the things they say are all about their attributes. It's amazing what they're able to do. It's the greatest of all time. You ever hear that? The acronym GOAT, greatest of all time. The greatest athlete of all time. The greatest singer of all times. Folks, there's one greatest of all time. And we serve Him and worship Him. And He is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And it's not about us just saying, praise God, but by the words we bring forth that magnify the Lord. We may not even say those words, praise God, and yet am still praising God. Whenever I say, the Lord answer prayer for me, you know I'm praising God. I'm extolling His glory and all that He is and all that He's done. I was sick and the Lord answered prayer and He touched me. I was lost and the Lord saved me. You know that's praising the Lord. Whenever we from our hearts tell what the Lord's done for us. Psalm says, oh, tell what He's done for you of His love, so strong and true. Oh, tell what He's done for you. Others may need Him too. Let's be willing to tell it, to share it. I want to look at some other scriptures. I know this is a subject that we're all familiar with. It's a common one, common theme throughout scriptures. You don't have to read very far in the Psalms to see this is where David's mindset was. I believe David realized, particularly after his terrible transgression and the Lord's forgiveness of him, how much he was forgiven. Lord, help us not to forget the man I used to be. Not to forget the hole of the pit from whence we were dug. Not to forget the one who saved us. Wasn't it David who said, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard his cry. And He lifted him up out of a miry pit. And He established my feet, established my goings, and He gave me a new song, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and praise the Lord. David realized the place that he had come from. It is good for us to remember the place that we've come from and the one who's brought us out of it. I'd like to look at another story in the Old Testament. I believe this would be worth our considering. The book of Esther. A story I love to read and remember. I won't go through it or recap it all, as I believe we're familiar with it. But the Lord delivered not only Esther, not only Mordecai, but he delivered the Jewish people from certain death. That's what Haman's intent was. It's what he set about to design, and the destruction of the Jewish people from out of the land. You remember what we read about Noah? The Lord remembered Noah. You know, the Lord remembered Mordecai. You can read that the Jewish people had declared a fast, and they were seeking the Lord. Well, the Lord heard that prayer, brought back to remembrance in a king's mind the thoughts, the Lord planning it out perfectly, and the perfect timing of it and the perfect way. Couldn't have been planned out any better by Esther or Mordecai or any of them. The Lord remembered them in the time of their sorrow. In the time when they were clothed in sackcloth and ashes, the Lord remembered and he heard their prayer. He didn't immediately deliver, and yet when he did, let's read. 8th chapter of Esther. 15th verse, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Have you had a good day? You know the Jews had a good day. The Lord brought deliverance unto them. Any day that we're serving the Lord is a good day. We're going to have adversity and obstacles. I remember Brother Michael, I think it was, talking about every day is a good day. There's just some that are better than others. But every day with the Lord is a good day. It can be easy for us to lose sight. In fact, the children of Israel, it didn't take very long, did it? Before they lost sight of the song that they were singing to the Lord. And in a short time, they were singing a different tune. Oh, woe is us. How terrible this is. Why did this happen? Why are we in this place? Why can't we go back? And the Lord was displeased. Scripture in the New Testament gives us the instructions that we are not to murmur or to complain. But how easy it can be. And it's almost like it's contagious. In the workplace, in the media, there's something that feeds on negativity. There's something that feeds on bad news. On something sensationally bad or tragic that happens, it seems like there's something that people just gravitate towards that. Whenever the boss is a bad boss, it doesn't take very long for that word to start getting around. For people to start whispering about it. Whenever the economy is going south, it can be so easy to complain about the gas prices and complain about the milk prices and complain about how much it's going to cost to put Thanksgiving dinner on the table. You know what? We're able to have Thanksgiving dinner. You know what? We're able to buy gasoline so far. We're able to put milk on the table still. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all that He's given us. Whenever we look at what people, even in 2021 and other nations, are going through, Lord, You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. Lord, help us not to lose sight of His goodness and many blessings by the trivial things that would beset around us that the devil would like to get us focused on instead. Psalms 147 and 1 says, praise is comely. It's beautiful. There's also a scripture, this is a little different context, but it talks about a beautiful woman without discretion is like a jewel in a pig's snout. Well, understand where I'm going with that. Praise from the lips of a sinner is like jewels in a pig's snout. If we come together and we praise the Lord together and I'm going back home and I'm living a life that's contrary to the principles of God, it's like putting a diamond jewel in a pig's snout. It doesn't work, it's not comely, it's not becoming, and it's not becoming to this world to see a life of somebody that's grumbling and murmuring and complaining just like them, or somebody that's conducting their life in the same manner they are, and then to say, praise God. There's something more than that. The people will be able to see, and they saw it with the Jews here. They saw that the Jews had light and joy and thanksgiving, and many others also became Jews. What are we showing to the world? The joy of the Lord is our strength, the scripture says. We have much to thank the Lord for. No matter what our circumstances are, we have much to thank the Lord for. It is from the Lord that every good gift proceeds. You know, we have a tradition. We have a tradition of bowing our heads in thanks before we eat. What is that? Is it just a form that we go through that becomes empty? Do you know that it should be more than that? And in a time of plenty, it can almost seem removed from us. Well, we bought that. We prepared it. We have nothing without the Lord. We don't have the strength to be able to go to work, to earn the money, to buy the food. We don't have the breath to be able to enjoy another moment without the Lord. We have nothing. In Him, the poet said, I believe in Him we live and move and have our being. We subsist by Him and through Him. And it is only fitting for us then that our lives and our attitude and our mindset be one of thanksgiving. I'm not here to say that that means our life is going to be a bed of roses, or we stick our head in the sand and say everything's peachy wonderful. But even through it all, it is to realize that our God is still good. Our God is still faithful, and He's still true. We read about some examples of those that praised and worshiped the Lord when He brought deliverance. But there were those that you can also read about that praised the Lord even before He brought deliverance. Paul and Silas sang a mournful melody. They sang praises unto their God. Before the bars were ever pulled apart for Him, they were already singing praises to the Lord. I want to look at Psalms, the 84th chapter. Think also, as we're getting there, of the story of Job. Job, whenever everything had crumbled around him, it says that Job fell upon his face and worshiped God. Worshiped Him. Realizing who God was and that it was from Him that all those things came anyway. Oh Lord, help me. Because I know I so many times started to get into this mode of grumbling and complaining and focusing more on the problems or the annoyances or the irritations of life than on all the Lord has given. Psalms, the 84th chapter. And the fourth verse, it says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Oh Lord, help us to still be praising God no matter what comes. No matter what adversities might come in life, that the Lord would find us still praising Him. That is a continual praise. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And to reinforce it, and again I say, rejoice. In how many things are we to give thanks? In all things give thanks. Whenever we come and we bring our petitions before the Lord, how do we do it? Let us, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. This isn't just a form, but I want to encourage us into this spirit and this mindset and attitude. When I come before the Lord, I'm going to have needs. I'm going to have problems. I'm going to have things I need to ask the Lord for. But I need to come first saying, Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for what you've done. The Lord is worthy of our praises. He's pleased with our praises. But you know, there's also a benefit to us. Sometimes we need reminded of how great God is. We need reminded of what the Lord has already done for us. It can shift our whole mindset. Whenever we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Have you ever come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got all these needs, but right now, Lord, I just want to thank you. And your prayer is nothing more than, Lord, thank you for this. And you start putting your mind through that exercise. Lord, you answered prayer here. You gave me this. You've done that for me. Lord, thank you for this. And as we go on, it has a way of lifting the cloud. Jehoshaphat and Judah, whenever the enemy was coming up against them, you remember how they did battle? The Lord gave them the instruction to do it. You send the singers before, singing praises unto God, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And the Lord's the one that set the ambushments. Lord, help us to exercise ourselves in these things, to have always a spirit of thanksgiving. Think of another scripture in Psalms, the 22nd chapter and 3rd verse. It says, Thou, O Lord, inhabitest the praises of Israel. The Lord inhabits our praises. So I want to ask you today, how big of a house have you built for the Lord? If He's inhabiting that portion of our life that I'm offering thanksgiving to the Lord and praise and honor to Him, have I restricted that to a little shack out back? Lord, you got the janitor closet. Or am I giving the Lord something that's fitting for who He is and offering my praise, my thanksgiving? There's a couple scriptures as we close I'd like to read in the book of Philippians. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Another song. Number 94. Filled with the fullness of perfect salvation, washed in the blood that was shed on the tree. This my rejoicing through ages eternal, Jesus my Savior came looking for me. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, now and forever my boasting shall be. Over the mountain where lonely I wandered, Jesus my Savior came looking for me. This is my rejoicing through ages eternal. Lord, thank you that you came looking for me. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you've heard my prayer and my cry. There's another song, we won't sing it. Number 189, it says, Help me, O Lord, to ever be thankful. I have, like Mary, made the wise choice. Also says something about, Lord, help me to live more grateful. And that would be my prayer and burden for each one of us. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, also as we're here. 2 and 14, it says, Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Back to the 4th chapter in the 6th verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and Supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. There's a reason why even generally in our service, we begin our services with singing. I want to tune my heart as I come into the presence of the Lord to sing praises unto him. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to be honored and worshiped and praised regardless of what my situation or my needs or my problems might be. The precedent before it all is the Lord is worthy of my praise and of my thanksgiving and adoration. Lord, help us to prepare and present to the Lord a comely habitation by our praises. You pray for me. Amen.